Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. We have a website. It's strength4thejourney.com. And we have a saying here that truth is a fuel for the journey. Applying the truth will give you strength for the journey. We all need the truth, and this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. Truth is from God's Word. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John 14:6. And we need the truth more than ever right now. Many of us have been lied to in many ways, not only in the church, but out of the church. And God's Word is the truth, and we have to find out the truth for ourselves because nobody else can apply the truth in our lives but us. So somebody else's truth won't work for us. We need to find it for ourselves. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So He is the truth. So we need to, what we're going to be talking about tonight is when he came and talked to the disciples back in John chapter 6, there's an interesting thing that took place. He fed the multitudes first, and there was around, I believe, 5,000 that were there. And he fed them all from a young lad's barley loaves and fish. And there was five barley loaves and two fish. And he fed the multitudes, and after they gathered the fragments, there were 12 baskets that were remaining. And there were 12 baskets, actually, of the barley loaves. And so there was multitudes that were fed, and plus they had extra when it was all said and done. And so these guys were going to take Jesus by force and make him king. So Jesus took off and went to a mountain and went away from them. And about that time, his disciples went to the other side of the lake. And then Jesus came walking on the water later in the story, after a storm had arisen. And when they were on the other side of the lake the next day, these people that had come, that were there, that were fed in the multitudes, decided they wanted another meal. And so when Jesus saw them, He said, "Verily I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." And then he went on to say, this is in verse 26 and 20, now it's 27. It says, "Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him has God the Father sealed." And it says here, they went back and they said back to him, he said, "Well, what shall we do that we might do the works of God?" And he said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." So he's going to the point that he's trying to tell these guys that this meal that they're looking for isn't the real meal that they really need. And so he goes on to say that he said that that he is the bread of life, that he's for the bread of God is that he which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And he said, "I am the bread of life." So he's trying to tell these guys that he is that bread from heaven, that their fathers ate the bread in the wilderness and they're dead, but he is the bread from heaven that will give eternal life. So it goes on, and these guys were still going back and forth about what is this guy trying to say? What is Jesus trying to say? And so Jesus said, "Murmur not among yourselves, because no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life." So he's repeating what he already told this multitude that came back for more food. And so they said, "Your fathers did eat in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I shall give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So these guys are now, they're not real sure how they're going to eat this meal that he's giving them now. This was not an easy meal to swallow. And the Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus went on to say, said, verily I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. For he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eats me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. For he that eats of this bread shall live forever. So now this is quite a meal that these guys are being served right now. It's not this little loaves and fishes now on the hillside. He's giving a meal, and I kind of look at it like he's going to kind of thin the herd, and he's going to find out who is really his and who's just following just for the free food. And I was thinking about how many people go to church today, and I kind of see it in many of the same ways, that they're like free fooders. They're just there for the free ride, that they're not really to hear the truth. They're not really hungering for the truth, because the truth is not an easy thing to eat. It's not an easy thing to receive, especially about ourselves. We might be able to receive the truth about somebody else, but to really look at ourselves in the mirror and to see our flaws and be repentant for our own lives and the way we're living it and the correction that needs to be made in our lives, it's not an easy thing. And this is something that all of us have to get to the point now, that no matter how hard the truth is to receive, that we need to consume the truth. And I was also kind of going back and thinking about Ezekiel. And in chapter 1 of Ezekiel, he was given quite a task. And he was told to eat the scroll. And after he ate the scroll, then he said, then you can deliver the word. But first he had to do is he had to eat the scroll before he could deliver the word that was on the scroll. And I think a lot about the way it is with us too, is that we have to receive the truth for ourselves before we can deliver it to somebody else. That God wants us to live the truth first. And when I first gave my heart to the Lord a number of years ago, I wanted to go change the world. And he kind of like grabbed me by the neck collar and just kind of said, whoa, son. He said, you're never going to change anybody. The only guy you'll ever change is the guy you see in the mirror every morning. But he went on to say that the changes you allow me to make in you, I will use to change others. So it's like he was going to shove this scroll down my mouth first before I would ever go out there and try to tell the other world or try to tell the rest of the world what they needed to do with their life. That I had to live this thing for myself first, and I had to let God make the changes he needed to make in me, the guy I see in the mirror every morning. And I think many times, you know, we're trying to pick splinters out of other people's eyes when we have big giant logs in our own. And God is trying to get us to clean up our own lives so that his light can shine through. I had an interesting testimony that was given to me a number of years ago of a gentleman who said he came to the door of his brother's house, or actually his brother came to his house, and he was standing at the front door, and he hadn't seen him in a while, and he said he literally saw light coming from his brother. And when he saw this light coming from him, he said, what in the world happened to you? You're something changed. I see light coming out of you, or something's really bizarre here. And he said, well, I accepted the Lord in my life, and I became born again, and he's changed my whole life. And this guy went on to say that because of his brother's testimony, that he ended up giving his heart to the Lord too. And as I was listening to this testimony, this was probably in the first year that I had given my heart to the Lord, and I was just thinking about my own life, and I was thinking, well, I haven't had anybody come to my front door lately and say, what's this light coming out of you? And when I was thinking about this thought, the Lord kind of prompted a thought in my mind and showed me that he said, he says, my light dwells in each one of my believers, but the compromise that's in their life is like a filter layered one on top of the other. and it filters my light from shining through. And what those filters are in the form of is what the world sees in themselves, they see in you. And I knew there were some things that God wanted to clean up in my life, and I was being resistant. And it was like he was just showing me I needed to give him access to every room of my life. And when I realized that these things were hindering me from being the witness that God wanted me to be, that they were actually blocking my testimony, blocking the light from coming to a world that was dark, I realized I had to make some changes. And I was so glad that that happened, because God did some amazing new things in my life when I just was the little compromises that was going on in my life. And I think that there's so much in the church today that the world sees in themselves that they see in the church. And it's blocking the light from coming from the church because it's being hindered by compromise. And this is the time that we got to get the compromise out of our lives, that we have to let his light shine. But we have to let the light shine in us first, that we have to let the truth come into us and let it do the work that it needs to do in us first, and get the darkness out of us so that we can be the white light and be the beacon that God wants us to be to a lost and dying world. We're going to listen here to a song. It's a song by Casting Crowns. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's called The Voice of Truth.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in, under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and is holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory.
afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe, 'cause Jesus, you are the voice of truth.
Will you listen to the voice of truth? Chapter 6 ends in some sad words because there were some there that were following Jesus, but they wouldn't listen to the voice of truth. When he said that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, which he said that he is the bread of life, instead of waiting around and listening and having a heart that was teachable, that was a heart that could receive the truth, that hungered for the truth, that knew that no man could do these miracles except God was with him, he said, does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And there are some of you that do not believe. Then he goes on in verse 65. It says, therefore I said unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And then in verse 66, says that from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That it was a meal that they could not receive. It was a meal too hard to swallow, which many times in our life, the truth is a very hard thing to swallow. But we have to hunger for the truth like a man that's starving, because Simon Peter understood something that the other disciples that walked away at that time didn't understand. Jesus said unto the rest of the 12, he said, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. And Peter understood something that these other guys didn't understand, is that it was the words of life that Jesus was offering, that his words were truth and they have to be received. They can't be rejected. They have to be eaten. You have to eat every word that Jesus says. We can't just, his words aren't like a buffet and you just go through the Bible and you say, well, I like this, ooh, but I don't like that. That's a hard word. Because if you find words that are hard that he spoke, that there will be a place and a time that you will go away too. That when he asks us if we want to follow him, there are some criteria that he talks about in Luke chapter 14 that I've mentioned under other programs that were not an easy thing to receive. And that is that you couldn't love anybody more than me, that you had to pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. And he said that you have to forsake all. And this is not an easy thing. And I didn't really understand it until God asked those same things of me, of my life. And once I said, yes, I do, then my whole life began to change, and I began to understand what his words really meant, that they were much of what he intended to say, and the real meaning behind the words are hidden from us by our hardness of our heart, that we're not willing to obey whatever he says. And I found that in my own life, that when I was willing to lay down my life, that nothing else mattered but him and obeying him, then it's like all of a sudden he opened my eyes to so much I never could see before. And I know this is what he wants to give all of us now. He wants to give us open eyes. He wants us to understand the truth. But we have to be able to receive everything that he wants to say. We can't just pick and choose what he has to say to us. Because we have to trust that he knows what's best for us, that he is who he said he was, and that he wants and has the best intentions for us. And if we really do believe that we will do whatever he says because we understand that there is no other way. Just like Peter, he said, only you have the words of life. Where are we going to go? And that's the way I feel now, is that I don't know where else to go. Only he has the words of life. And I know the Lord's giving a lot of hard words right now, and he's woke me up here about 2 weeks ago, a couple times during the week. And I'm just going to read a little bit of the word that he gave me. You can go back to the website if you want to read this for yourself, the whole thing. But it's on Strength for the Journey, Strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. It's on a link called Today's Rhema. But this was on April 30th. The word began, so many aren't prepared for what is to come. They live in a state of denial, not only about themselves, but the world they live in. They live in a world that doesn't exist because they think of themselves. They think they are someone who doesn't exist. They believe they have a relationship that doesn't exist. And then on the next day, the next morning, this is part of the other word that I got. It says, time for preparation. The time of preparation is nearly over. Strengthen what remains. Get into my word like a starving man. Eat my word as manna from heaven. Know my word that you might identify my voice. My voice is the voice that will guide you. My voice is what will lighten your path and keep you from stumbling in the dark. For nighttime is coming and many aren't prepared for the dark. Know my voice, for it will guide the blind man who knows he can't see. The pride of those who think they can see will find their lamps have no oil, their flashlights have become dim and even dead. In their pride and false sense of confidence, they won't realize the batteries are dead until the moment they need them. If you will get before me in brokenness and humility and fall at my feet, my presence will charge your batteries and fill your lamps. I will restore your soul. Come now, come before me, all you who have wearied themselves from laboring without me. I will restore you and revive you. I will give you rest. I will give you peace in the midst of the storm. Fear not. Get into the boat. It's time to cross the lake. The other side awaits you. The storm is coming, but I will be with you in the midst of the storm. And when I reread this morning or this afternoon, and I was reading John chapter 6 this morning, it just kind of came back to my mind is that this is what happened with these disciples, is that the disciples got in the boat. There was a storm, but Jesus came to them in the midst of the storm. He was there in the midst of that hard moment, that time of fear, and the time just as it was when it gets dark and we can't see our way. Jesus found them in the dark even. So this is when we have that relationship with him, when we hunger for the truth, he will be with us in the midst of the storm. But those who don't hunger for the truth will find themselves that they will receive a lie. And this is a scary thing for many who cannot receive a hard word, is that if we can't receive a hard word, then we'll receive an easy word. And the church today has been filled with many easy words that are not the truth. And many people think they have a relationship that doesn't exist, and they think of themselves that they're not. And they think they live in a world that doesn't exist either. That I believe that very hard times are coming, and many people are not prepared for what's coming because they're living in a dreamland, because they won't accept who they really are. And the Lord wants us to know who we are so he can change us. Because if we think we don't need to be changed, then why do we need to repent? Why do we need to even think that we have something that's not right with God? But I was reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it says in verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. It says, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, that this hungering for the truth and receiving whatever it is that God wants to say about us is what really keeps us on this narrow road. That all of us, our flesh is always trying to exit from the narrow road. It wants to find an easy path. It wants to find some other way that's going to be easier on us and on our flesh. And we got to realize that the road that is the narrow road is a road of restriction. It's a road of obedience. And it's actually not just a narrow road, but I believe it's a narrow wing road. It's a road that actually narrows. God requires more out of us. The more and the longer we walk with Him, the more narrow that gets and the more restrictive it is on us. And I think that is the work of sanctification in our life, is that as we're walk longer with the Lord, that He requires more obedience because we are more accountable. We know more, therefore we are more accountable for what we know. And this is the work that God does, is almost like a crushing and a squeezing, like the grapes are being crushed and the wheat's being crushed as we're walking. And He even told Peter, when Peter struggled with that dying to self part, and he denied the Lord when the Lord was in that courtyard the night He was betrayed. And Peter thought he was ready for this test, but he wasn't. But he truly repented, because in John chapter 21, when he saw the Lord on the shore, and John said, "It's the Lord," he jumped in the water and swam to Him. And I believe that swimming to Him was just an act of obedience, that he was going to the Lord no matter what He wanted him to do. And of course, the Lord said, "Feed my sheep," three times. And he struggled with this, but the very last thing Jesus told him was, He said, "When you were old, somebody else, or when you were young, you pretty much got to go where you wanted to go. But when you're old, somebody else will take you by the hand and take you where you don't want to go," signifying of His death. And this was the end of that narrow road. It's like if you look down a highway, a long highway, like out in the desert, it has a vanishing point. And this was essentially the vanishing point in Peter's life. It's just a life of obedience that he was going to have to walk this thing out all the way to the end. And this is what God is asking of us too. He's asking us to walk down this road no matter where it leads, but just trust Him that He has our best intent in mind, and that He loves us with an enduring love, and that He will see us to the very end. He'll take care of us all the way to that vanishing point, but we have to give Him all of our heart, every bit of it, and trust Him that He will walk us through. So thanks again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. Strength for the Journey.